Thank you. Thank you, Rosie. Can you all hear me okay? Can you hear me? You can hear me? Grand. There's nothing quite as excruciating, perhaps, as listening to an introduction that you wrote a lot yourself a long time ago when it seemed like a good idea. So thank you for softening it with some nice words about sometimes a wild god. I get really nervous before doing this kind of thing, so I feel a bit sick. But I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I wish I was there in person. I really do. It looks lovely. Maybe some other time I'll make it over from this black and white world in which I exist. I'm going to read a few poems. My poems tend to be on the longish side, not like kind of big epic things, but a few pages. So we'll see how many I get in. If someone could let me know when I should shut up, that would be really nice, because otherwise I'll embarrass myself by going on for too long. I'm a storyteller at heart, so things can get out of hand. When I got the email saying what was going to be happening, and I saw you were doing five word poems, I thought you guys are seriously fucking hardcore. Haiku's not hard enough for you. You're just doing 5 word poems now. So that was great to listen to. Okay, I'm going to start with a poem from a book that came out not this year, last year, I think, sometime, called At the Orphan's Door. And this one seems like a suitable introduction to me and my work, and seems to fit the occasion. I'm gonna have to take my glasses off because my eyes are old and I have to do that now, and my posh glasses are broken. This is called A Party for the Broken. If I slip into sounding slightly Scottish while I read, apologies. I've lived in Scotland for a long time, and it's where I learned to read my poetry out loud, so my voice kind of reverts to that time while I'm reading. Okay, A Party for the Broken. Tonight we will have a party only for the broken pieces. Only the crooked and the blunt ones are welcome tonight. The shattered and the stained can come, but you perfected ones should stay away. All the orphans and exiles will be arriving soon with their bundles of rags and sorrow. Make room, you bright angels. Now the wounded are coming home. Tonight will be a celebration of our tragedies, all our petty stupidities, our shameful transgressions, and the unedifying failure to become what we might have been in other, more radiant lives. Here are the unrelinquished griefs and the never forgotten slights. Here is the stuttering clumsiness and all the stagnant laziness. Here is the hollow in my heart. Come in. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Outside, the Buddhas and the saints are laughing. In here, there is a quieter communion of our tragedies. Sit. There is food and cheap wine, a warm fire and candles. Eat, drink, then speak, and we shall all weep sticky and graceless tears. At this party, we are dancing to 10,000 folk songs. Each song cracks and falters and is more darkly holy for every defective note. This is the party for the broken. Imperfect music plays for imperfect dancers. Imperfect speeches are imperfectly spoken. We bang tables and forget our words. We wash the floor with our tears. You shattered and stained beauties, all crooked and graceless as you are, blunted by the hard world of death, love, and the push of time's spear. You who are more glorious than statues, as rich in stories as pirates, as worthy as comets or stars. This is the secret I have to share with you tonight. Our dark-tongued singing reaches heavens even the saints don't know. Our graceless, defiant dancing opens up the whole universe. Tonight, let the Buddhas be silent. In here, we will raise our glasses and sing so loud and badly that all the bright and dark heavens will hear our song. Thank you. In kind of true shambolic poetry style, poet style, I'm still trying to decide what order I'm going to read these poems in. But I'm going to do this one next. This is from a book that came out earlier this year called The Queen of Heaven. I tend to put out little A6 books because you can put them in your pocket and they make nice gifts for friends. So this book, The Queen of Heaven, came out this year. It's a weird creation. It's a kind of devotional object to the focus of my poetry, the one I'm addressing when I write, the one who I'm constantly flirting with and trying to impress. This one's called The Syllable. What was it you said to me when we first met? I cannot remember now if it was 1,000 years ago or one, but in that moment, the rest of my life fell behind me. I turned and walked towards you and dropped all other distractions. All these lives later, I am still walking, still as lost in love as the moment that first syllable arrived at my ear, so terrible and so sweet. I don't recall what language you were speaking. You might have been a cloud or a bird or a song. It was your voice that inspired this longing, and my ear became loyal only to you. It took me all this time to find you. I mistook others for you constantly, and I will make the same mistake forever, in the street, at my window, in my dream. There you are, and there, over there, and there. I have thrown nets and made traps for you. You have slipped through the finest mesh and skipped from one snare, slipped from another. I cannot hold you. A fool, but constant in my devotion. I learned only slowly how to court you with these praise songs I am making by speaking your name sideways in the world. What was it you said? In that syllable is the secret I came for, this longing that pulls me through all the worlds, through all heavens and all hells. My tongue is a clumsy tool with which to praise you. My heart, though, is as eloquent as the blackbird in the hedge at dusk, naming all the secret things of the world in its song. Great-hearted mistress, endlessly I move towards your body of bones and stones and stars. In your eyes are the secrets of all the fires. In your womb are all the children of every universe. In your blood, all the memories of this world. I am coming to you, dear lady. My feet are tired, but I keep walking. Every step of the way towards you, I am singing love songs, each one an echo of that first syllable you whispered in my ear. Thank you. Thank you. All right, I can put my glasses back on for this one because the print is really big in this,
Oh,
which is
thank
quite
you.
helpful. What was that? Was that directed at me? No. Okay. So this one is a poem I wrote about 12 years ago now. One night, I was living up on the moor. I had the first line in my head for about a year, I think. I thought it was someone else's poem that it had come from, and I kept Googling it and trying to find it, and I couldn't find it, and eventually thought I'd better write the poem that came on from that first line. So I was sitting at home drinking Guinness and listening to Daka Braka, the Ukrainian hip hop band, and this is the poem that came out. I think it had been brewing for quite a time before that. But it kind of changed my life writing it, and still pays about half my rent every month. It's called Sometimes a Wild God. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward and does not know the ways of porcelain, of fork and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine. When the wild god arrives at the door, you will probably fear him. He reminds you of something dark that you might have dreamt, or the secret you do not wish to be shared. He will not ring the doorbell. Instead, he scrapes with his fingers, leaving blood on the paintwork, though primroses grow in circles round his feet. You do not want to let him in. You are very busy. It is late or early, and besides, you cannot look at him straight because he makes you want to cry. Your dog barks. The wild god smiles. He holds out his hand, and the dog licks his wounds, then leads him inside. The wild god stands in your kitchen. Ivy is taking over your sideboard. Mistletoe has moved into the lampshades, and wrens have begun to sing an old song in the mouth of your kettle. I haven't much, you say, and give him the worst of your food. He sits at the table bleeding. He coughs up foxes. There are otters in his eyes. When your wife calls down, you close the door and tell her it's fine. You will not let her see the strange guest at your table. The wild god asks for whiskey, and you pour a glass for him, then a glass for yourself. Three snakes are beginning to nest in your voice box. You cough. Limitless space. Oh, eternal mystery. Oh, endless cycles of death and birth. Oh, miracle of life. Oh, the wondrous dance of it all. You cough again, expectorate the snakes, and water down the whiskey, wondering how you got so old and where your passion went. The wild god reaches into a bag made of moles and nightingale skin. He pulls out a two-reeded pipe, raises an eyebrow, and all the birds begin to sing. The fox leaps into your eyes. Otters rush from the darkness. The snakes pour through your body. Your dog howls, and upstairs, your wife both exults and weeps at once. The wild god dances with your dog. You dance with the sparrows. A white stag pulls up a stool and bellows hymns to enchantments. A pelican leaps from chair to chair. In the distance, warriors pour from their tombs. Ancient gold grows like grass in the fields. Everyone dreams the words to long-forgotten songs. The hills echo and the grey stones ring with laughter and madness and pain. In the middle of the dance, the house takes off from the ground. Clouds climb through the windows. Lightning pounds its fists on the table, and the moon leans in. The wild god points to your side. You are bleeding heavily. You have been bleeding for a long time, possibly since you were born. There is a bear in the wound. Why did you leave me to die? Asks the wild god. And you say, I was busy surviving. The shops were all closed. I didn't know how. I'm sorry. Listen to them. The fox in your neck, and the snakes in your arms, and the wren, and the sparrow, and the deer. The great unnameable beasts in your liver, in your kidneys, in your heart. There is a symphony of howling, a cacophony of dissent. The wild god nods his head, and you wake on the floor, holding a knife, a bottle, and a handful of black fur. Your dog is asleep on the table. Your wife is stirring far above. Your cheeks are wet with tears. Your mouth aches from laughter or shouting. A black bear is sitting by the fire. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward and does not know the ways of porcelain, of fork and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine and brings the dead to life. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have I got room for one more shorter one, much shorter than that one?
You certainly do. Thanks very much,
Yeah.
Tom.
Thank you. Thank you, Rosie. Okay, so I edit a magazine, quarterly print magazine called Clarion, that's just in its third issue now. There's about 36 poets in each issue, and the issue that that came out a month or two ago, we were particularly looking for responses to the ongoing genocide in Gaza, as well as general kind of ecological desecration that people were living in kind of more or less direct experience of. So this poem, the next one that I'm going to read, this last one, is a poem that I had in that. I was emceeing at a fundraising gig last December, and I wanted something to read that night. So I wrote this then a year ago. And writing about war is difficult at the best of times. I'm sure many of you have tried. And writing about a war that is not affecting you directly, and that you're not involved in directly, is a perilous thing to enter into. So I could only write in a way removed from the thing itself. So this poem is about that, but it's also about the erasure of true history. And I have to read it from the screen because it's because I neglected to bring a copy of Clarion into the room with me. So I'm going to read it from the screen. And thank you all so much for listening to my poems, and thank you for having me here. I really would love to come over and hang out over there sometime. I used to run an open mic in Edinburgh long, long time ago. I miss it. This is the one to finish. It's called Here's How We Lie. There was never a child, and there was never a house. It must be a trick of the light. The olive trees grow, and the wild herbs wave, sweet in the evening we lie. There was never a father, and there was never a door in the house that never stood there. There was no praying or singing or coffee to taste. Sweet in the morning, we lie. There was never a mother, and there was never a bed, and no one ever gave birth. No one shed tears or dreamed in their sleep. Sweet in the nighttime, we lie. History is a dream, and the dead are not ghosts. There's no injustice or bloody genocide. There was never a land, and the bombs did not fall. No slaughter, and this is not hell. Here's how we lie. Grass grows on the graves, and the ghosts gather round to tell tales. Sweet in the evening, sweet in the morning, and sweet in the night of our lives. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Rosie, and have an excellent rest of the evening. Thanks so much. It's been a joy.